Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
Never has a theme song for never has that theme song for the show been more appropriate, as this is the all new retooled, reformatted Babyface Heel podcast, where I will do my best to sabotage everything that Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales do. This is the all new Babyface Heel podcast because there's two sides to every storyline. Basically, I'm the heel, Patrick is the babyface, and Miranda is stuck in the middle. Forced to be the referee, the peacekeeper, the tweener, the judge, the jury, and free to choose sides as she wishes. Of course, my name is Greg DeMarco. You can follow me on all of your forms of social media. That's the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram at ChairShotGreg. The Babyface Heel podcast is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can follow along on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and so many more. Just do us a favor, on whatever you listen on, go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review, like the show, share it with a friend, let them know how we're doing. The numbers are taking off and our podcasts are doing well, really well. And it's been really going up in the month of January. I don't know what it is about 2021 off to this start. Not the start that most people wanted in the world, but for our podcast numbers, it's been an amazing start. So please do that. Of course, thechairshot.com is your home for sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We started with wrestling, but we've become so much more, and I definitely want you to check that out over at thechairshot.com and follow that over at Chair Shot Media.
Thechairshot.com.
always use your head.
Of course, I can't really be a heel without people to sabotage and go heel on. So, for starters, you know him. He's been here since day one-ish. You can follow him on all of your forms of social, well, at least Twitter, because he's got different names, different places. But he is at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. He is the babyface. He is Patrick O'Dowd.
What's up, man?
I was like, this is where you talk, man. You're like slow. You're like,
I was. Shut up! I was well on my way in.
You were warming yourself up. You wouldn't shut up during the pre-show stuff. And then now you're like, now it's like.
Well, you know, to be blunt, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, you got this. Be totally fine. You know, we just steer the ship as we go and it'll be A-okay. And this is.
That's true. We're going to wing it. Down.
It's not. It's pretty. We actually planned it pretty well. Yeah. At least I did. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I love how you set me up for something I haven't watched on at all.
It'd be fine.
But anyway,
You know how these topics work, man. It's all about perspective. It's not about having watched.
I know. I'm just yanking your chain. You made me do homework this week. Like I read the rundown. I was like, fuck. Well, I guess I got to watch Raw on time. God damn it.
Oh, and I'm not gonna do that.
What?
No, because you had to text me some information that I'm going to make you talk about instead. So, yeah, oh, I told you I was going to.
Really
I told you I was going to.
This is such good shit.
All right. She's currently muted, but I'll give her a second to unmute herself. She is the tweener. She is stuck in the middle of the referee, the peacekeeper, and at some points maybe even forced to choose sides or may do so on her own. She's the queen of soft style. You can follow her on Facebook and Instagram, but no Twitter. Because she is a Twitterless heroine herself, at the hashtag Miranda. It's Miranda Morales.
Yes. Clowns to the left of me and jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle.
See, that's a good reference. That's I like that. That was good.
Yes,
I could have buzzered you, but why would I do that? Why would I buzzer you? That would be no fun. By the way, I don't have chair shot updates on the rundown, but I do want to provide a couple quick ones. As you guys know, chair shot radio taken off. I've mentioned that the daily format and our NFL coverage doing really well as well. Got some great stuff out there on the website about that now for people to check out. But what I really want to talk about is, well, first of all, the Tuesday edition of chair shot radio got a lot of reaction out of people and lots of fun. Unintended by, like, I really wanted to use an example just as an example, but that's all anybody wants to talk about. They either know, like the two of you, and are saying things to me. I got text messages, whatever, or they don't know and they want to know. And if you don't know, now you don't know, because I ain't telling anybody who doesn't already know. In due time, maybe someday, I'm sure. That's just how the world works. But that was a lot of fun to see their reaction. I just want to throw this out there. If it's Wednesday, of course, when you listen to this, we record on Tuesday nights. If you haven't listened to the Wednesday edition of Chair Shot Radio with myself, just go listen to it. I've already recorded it. I'll produce it tonight.
You mean the Tuesday edition? Or
no, the Wednesday
edition.
You actually
mean the Wednesday edition?
I mean the Wednesday edition.
Okay.
Yeah, the Wednesday edition. That you guys don't know what the topic is. I'm not even going to tell you what the topic is. But it's something that people
have
asked
about. That's a good
topic
right there.
It's something that people have asked about a lot. And it's something that I can do multiple times and never run out of material. And it's yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Or so if you secretly listen to every episode of the Greg DeMarco show over the past 2 years, there's secret hints in each single episode. And if you compile all those hints together, then you actually get what you're really talking about.
What's
it's very
really funny,
national treasure.
What's really funny about that is technically you're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say about that is
it's
technically.
Like, it's like an episode of WandaVision.
Yeah, but that's a different show. And again, Patrick O'Dowd,
for the Easter eggs,
it's not what we're talking about now.
For the Easter eggs.
All right, good. Shut up and let's talk about what we need to talk about. So, Miranda.
Fuck you, Greg.
I'm just going to wind it up so we can move on. Wait, what'd you say?
How is that not a sound bite?
It should be, except I was talking when he did it. I'll have to get him recorded another time. So that's, yeah. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. I'm trying to find the Adam Cole soundbite, the other Adam Cole soundbite, not the normal one. I don't know where I put it, so I'm not going to worry about it right now because we got stuff to do. So I'm going to wind it up. Here's me wind it up. We're still going to wind it up no matter what the format is. Oh, so
wind it up. Wind it up, yes.
Don't mind if I do.
It's time!
Yes, it is time for you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt today. That means you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and you can, well, discover all of the amazing t-shirts that are on sale. You can find them in different styles, different colors, and different logos, all just for you. T-shirts start at $19.99. And hey, if you want to spend a few extra dollars, you can order it in soft style. Don't forget, there's some classic t-shirts such as the OG Chair Shot logo. Of course, multiple Always Use Your Head t-shirts, the unofficial official t-shirt of Patrick O'Dowd. Of course, the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, and Everybody Hates Greg. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your t-shirt today. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
This is one of those times where I really wish that our text messages were part of the show. That's all I got to say about what I've been sending to Patrick Rudow.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv.
All right, enough of that. I'm good with that one. So we're going to talk about our first topic, and what we're going to do is cover this from a couple different perspectives, and so it'll make sense as we go through it. But after the events of this weekend's Hard to Kill pay-per-view, Ethan Page was quick to disparage the goddamn good name of Impact Wrestling, I say with a smirk, for what he said was misleading regarding the cinematic match between himself and the Karate Man, or better yet, between himself and himself. He didn't like it. He wishes they never use the character at all. And he wants you to know about it. Miranda, do you mind reading for us what he said about this?
Yes. I gotta pull that up. So, quoted from Ethan Page himself, quote, "I'm so embarrassed with how Impact lazily edited that segment last night and forced it to be a joke. I felt the thought of the same guys fighting each other was comedy enough, and the more serious we took it, the better the reaction would be. But because I left the company, they lied to my face and just did what they wanted the whole time. I am sorry if any of my fans paid for that pay-per-view and felt cheated. I honestly feel the free version I gave away was made with more love, care, and attention to detail. Sadly, I had no control over the creative or the final product, and the editor refused to send it to me beforehand. So I saw it live with you guys and was surrounded by family, all scratching their heads at that high school project level delivery on a pay-per-view. I pray people know I didn't edit that hot garbage. I actually begged Impact not to even have Karate Man on TV. I only wanted it for my YouTube channel, but we don't write the shows. We just get the scripts and do our best. IDK, I don't know what else to say. Breaks my heart. This company refuses to respect its talent or its fan base on a regular basis.
All right. So thoughts on Ethan Page, no longer with Impact Wrestling, currently a free agent, and what he had to say about the pay-per-view version of Ethan Page versus the Karate Man, Patrick O'Dowd.
So as I try to understand this, so he's saying that Impact owned content he put on YouTube, therefore they could take control of the Karate Man gimmick and force us to watch it in their own chopped up style. Because that seems strange to me. And I love me some Ethan Page, but I feel like something's missing here in how the run with this gimmick came along. Ethan's a good guy. Ethan's a good guy. But I'm sorry. I don't think a company just does. I think a company has creative control over what they put out there and the content of their product and how it's edited and put together. But I don't know that Impact is like, hey, we saw this on your YouTube channel and we're going to make our own thing based on it. And you have no say or creative control and we're going to cut it poorly. And that's going to be that. Like, yes, they have final say on the result, but like the gimmick and the property that was going for a while on a few Impacts, it wasn't like just one. And then suddenly we had it on a pay-per-view before Ethan Page walked out the door. So I don't know that I completely buy that this is all on Impact.
I mean, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Like, no one forced him to put on the headband and the short shorts. Like, no one forced him to do that. He did it. And if he didn't want to do it, like Stone Cold Steve Austin said it before, like, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. And people might say, well, he's only Ethan Page. He's a tag team guy in Impact Wrestling, whatever. He was on his way out the door. It's not like he was even trying to re-sign with them. He was pretty much overt about the fact that he wasn't going to go back. So, and this was filmed in November, and when this match between Ethan Page and the Karate Man was filmed in front of a green screen, and obviously, as he says, looks like a high school project. By the way, has he ever seen Wrestle House? Like, it looks like it was filmed on a cell phone and edited by a child. Like, that's the point of it. Like, it was supposed to be campy. It was supposed to be dumb. And honestly, I don't think it was on his playlist at all. And I think, and like you, I love Ethan Page. Look, he's been on the show four times in the past.
Really? Four times?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Four times he's been on with us. Yeah,
because that's almost like Adam Pearce level of.
That's the Adam Pearce rule. Remember, really? No one could be on as many times as Adam Pearce. So that's how that works. Talked about that on the Tuesday morning edition. Actually, no, that comes up on the Greg DeMarco show or on the Chair Shot Radio that I told you guys to listen to. But it's just to me, like, I don't know. Like, you didn't know? I mean, it just seems he's trying to claim he didn't know something that he obviously knew, in my opinion. And I mean, look, we got this new format, right? You said something's missing. I think he's lying. Like, to be 100% honest with you, like, I don't think he's being fully truthful with what's going on here, but there's no repercussion for him right now. He's gone from the company. There's no repercussion. I actually don't agree with that, but I'll talk about that in a minute. Miranda, what do you think? It's you know what we think. Where do you stand in the Ethan Page Karate Man Impact Wrestling debacle?
Yeah. Well, going back to what Patrick's point was, I don't think it was Impact trying to take any stance on ownership of the Karate Man gimmick. I think it was, you know, maybe a way for them to easily write him out, because if they knew he was leaving, I think they needed a story to tell to help write him out in an easier way than maybe the dissolution of the North with Josh Alexander. I'm not sure, but it sounds like maybe this was for them kind of the easiest exit strategy, and also maybe not only just in storytelling, but also just in ring work. They didn't have to disrupt anything in ring. They could just have this side story and let him go off into the great wide yonder. Now, I do see where he's coming from, that once they recorded it and he left, that they didn't give him access to any of the footage or any of the editing. So he was out of that process. I'm sure maybe while he was recording it, there was things about it that he liked and he thought that they were going to go with. But ultimately, when he left and all of that footage remained with him, they went in a different direction. And ultimately, it's their right as the company who filmed it and recorded it. But I go back to wrestling in some ways being an art form. And that's a whole other topic and conversation for another day. But for someone who took pride in this character work, I think you really just viewed and wanted this to come off really well, because that was the last images that Impact fans were going to have of him in quite some time, if not ever. And so I do feel like there is a justified level of frustration that anyone who does any type of media, when you film a product and then it gets edited in a way that you don't like, it sucks. And I mean, I'm going to jump into maybe some bandwagon nerds territory. And this is also very not comparable, but somewhat of a similar case from what I understand. But you talk about Justice League and the Zack Snyder cut. You know, that was someone, even though he left that project, that whole movie went into a very different direction when he left, and to the point where now they're coming out with a 4-hour version of the movie. Maybe one day we'll see a 4-hour version of the Karate Man match. Who knows? But I think I can see someone understandably upset that a company took what they made and created it.
I got to defend Impact a little bit harder on this. Like, are you trying to tell me, like, and Greg, you said, I think he's lying. Adam Page, are you really trying to tell me that you thought that the Karate Man gimmick and your match against yourself was going to be this something to be taken seriously and edited beautifully cinematic match?
Like, I don't think Adam Page nor Ethan Page thought that was going to happen. I don't think Adam Page thought that. I don't think Ethan Page thought that either.
Or Ethan Page.
Diamond Dallas Page also didn't think that was going to happen. My bad. Page didn't think that was going to happen. No one named Page thought that was going to happen. But here, okay.
Diamond Dallas, I
mentioned him. I think you were.
I'm sorry, you were mumbling.
It's okay. Okay. Here's what Miranda brought something up that really brought up an idea in my head. Yes, the logical thing would have been for the North to break up and for Ethan Page to put over Josh Alexander on the way out. Miranda, what did Josh Alexander do at Hard to Kill?
He had his own match.
On the pre-show.
Yes.
Do you know how that match turned out?
No.
He lost. He lost to Brian Myers. He lost to Curt Hawkins on the pre-show of Hard to Kill. And so instead of breaking up the North and using that to elevate Josh Alexander, he lost on the pre-show. So, Patrick, you said something's missing. Here's what I think is missing. I think the idea was to break up the North, and I think they didn't want to do it. I don't think Ethan Page and Josh Alexander were down for that, because they might want to be the North again in the future when Josh Alexander's deal is up, maybe in NXT, maybe in AEW, whatever. Well, I said maybe in NXT. At this point, I'm going to say in AEW, and I'll explain why here in a second. Here's my problem. Okay. And Miranda, you said wrestling's an art form. Wrestling's an art form when it's your hobby. Wrestling's an art form when you're a hobbyist. Wrestling's an art form when you're Kenny Omega and you convince them to let you go to Impact and do whatever the hell you want. And that's what really gets me. Like, Impact is the most flexible company in the world. And Ethan Page trying to say he got bamboozled and bulldozed on this, I seriously doubt it. I think the missing piece is they didn't want to break the team up and have them feud on the way out the door. And he sounds to me like a mark. He sounds to me like someone who's like, this isn't what I wanted to do. Like, he sounds to me like he should be in All Friends Wrestling at this point. Here's my big problem, though. Dude, you're a free agent, okay? You're trying to go out there, and you're in the best shape of your life. He is. Dude, he's in great shape. He's a hell of a talker. He's a very talented wrestler. He should be shooting for the stars right now. If I'm Triple H, you think I want this guy after what he just did? He basically went out publicly the day after his thing comes out and talks completely negatively about the company because he said it himself. Like, we don't write the shows. We just get the scripts and do ourselves. Breaks my heart that this company refuses to expect its talent or its fan base on a regular basis. What do you think's going to happen if you sign with NXT? They're going to give you a script and expect you to do your best. Like, they're going to expect you to do the same thing you just complained about. And I just don't see it going very well for him if he goes down that road. And I could imagine if he signs with WWE, him and old Triple H can have a little bit of conversation about how things went in Impact Wrestling and what's going to be expected of him if he's, you know, competing for the best wrestling company in the world, NXT. So I think he's bound. I think he's headed to AEW. If this is what he really wants, if he wants his creative freedom, well, Ethan Page, you're going to get all of it and more on Dark. So have a great time. I just think this is a bad
No, 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 no. You left out the part where he goes on a brief run to job to Cody.
No, yes. I didn't. He's not that level. He's not coach. He's not job to Cody level. He might be one match. He might be one random no storyline match job to Cody level, because that's what a lot of people do.
What about I don't know, Darby Allin?
No, he wrestles on Dynamite. He could probably wrestle the women's champion. She only gets to wrestle on Dark. So that'd probably be a place where he could potentially do that in AEW. But yeah, I just don't think this is – I don't think this is very smart on his part. Like, what did he expect to accomplish other than defending his art form? Like, that doesn't sound like a professional wrestler to me.
Maybe he's living that all ego gimmick. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, like, he's become the gimmick.
I mean, well, maybe he believes the gimmick. Yeah,
is he going low key on us and believes his own hype?
Right. I hope not. But
well, and
it's funny because we're not really disagreeing very much today.
I think in any personal setting, as far as in a professional sense, if there was things that maybe he was promised that they rescinded on, or
but he didn't said say
that they were going to do this. I don't know. He was in some ways very descriptive about his vision for this.
I feel
and
like
others.
I feel like if there were broken promises, kind of he just would have. I feel like if there were broken promises, he just would have put that shit out there. Like, based on everything else he said. Why only half bad the company?
Yeah, it's just such a bizarre sour grape sort of thing to write over
at the worst time to do
throwaway,
it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the worst time to do it over something that honestly isn't what makes or breaks your career, right? Like, this wasn't your big shot. This wasn't your like moment in the sun.
This was the company that Rob Van Dam wrestled for, and people asked him if he had retired while he was there.
Right.
And he was the world champion when that happened. Like, this is the company where Kurt Angle says it's a shame the best years of his career happened when no one was able to see it. Like, this is who they are. And he's that worried when he's about to go to a much higher stage and hit the prime of his career, the most money-making years of his career, and the height of where he should be able to display his talents. And he's telling us he can only display his talents in the way he wants to display them. No one wants that. No one where he wants to go would want that. And I just think it's a bad look at the worst possible time for a guy who should be about to skyrocket. And he just took all the fuel out of the skyrocket, in my opinion. And that's too bad, because I think he's great. I think he's fantastic, and it kind of sucks.
Somebody call the Ultimate Warrior promo skills. Get the jet fuel filled with rockets.
Yes.
And the rocket fuel filled in the jet. Because you can't make any sense when you do the promo, by the way, because I saw some faces there.
Yeah. And Ethan Page makes a lot of sense when he does this, but he's so good. I'm so...
He is very good.
Like, yeah. I'm sad. I'm disappointed because he should be getting ready to hit into skyrocket. And I think it's probably dragged him down. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't think I am, but maybe I'm wrong and it won't drag him down. Who knows? But I just feel like this is a bad look. bad look on Ethan Page's part.
Greg DeMarco, would you book All Ego Ethan Page for IZW Wrestling?
Depends on the price. Number one.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. How cheap is he? How cheap is
right?
he?
Yeah. Okay.
If Greg can get him for a good deal.
Here's the problem, though.
Spoken like an independent booker.
And I've had this conversation with people, and Marin has been in on one of these conversations before too. Is he going to bring anybody to my event that's not already going to be there? The event that's probably going to sell out a week in advance of the show happening, like the last one did. So no, I probably wouldn't, because if I were running a bigger venue, if I were running a different city, if we were suddenly expanding to like Los Angeles, but no, I just. Unless he's going to be in town visiting family and just wants to show up for the heck of it, like pull a Robbie E, and you know, that's fine. But I just don't know. The answer is no.
I mean, the real question is, would you pay for travel?
Oh.
Well, if you listen to Chair Shot Radio this morning, you already know the answer to that question. Flat rate, baby. Flat rate's the only way to go.
I love it.
7-6-5-4-3-2-1 by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Masked Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the mood. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
Time for a brand new segment that we're going to do as part of the Babyface Heel podcast, and that is the Babyface Heel of the Week. It's our time to take a look at one of wrestling's most famous or infamous personalities from yesterday or today and decide how they were better or how would they be better as a babyface or as a heel. And this week's Babyface Heel of the Week is, of course, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Now, I actually have this. I'm going to change the order of this, and we're going to let Miranda Morales go first. This is not one where we have to be a babyface or a heel. This is one where we discuss a babyface or a heel. Miranda, how is old HBK better as a babyface or a heel?
Ooh. I'm going to say heel. I think all the, especially like the classic Shawn Michaels when he was managed by Sherry Martel, you know, really starting out. I mean, one of the best things that he ever did was to super kick his, you know, tag team partner through a barbershop window. That his career was made at that point. So I feel like a lot of his biggest milestones and moments were as a heel.
Patrick, what do you think?
See, isn't a fair question because he had a great tweener run too, you know. But for me and for my money, my favorite Shawn Michaels memories, and yes, the barbershop window is up there, but that WrestleMania run from Ric Flair to The Undertaker twice as nobody was really a heel in any of those stories. Like, so I'm going to say it's babyface Shawn running through that, but he wasn't a total baby. Like, he was a tweener. Like, but from I'm Sorry I Love You to being on his knees in Phoenix, Arizona and doing the throat slash to The Undertaker to tell him to finish it. Like, that's, it was amazing, Ron. It was just, that was, to me, that's his best stuff. So I guess babyface.
He was a babyface the whole time of that. And he was the perfect example of what we talked about before, where the babyface, like him versus John Cena at WrestleMania 22 or 23. That was definite babyface. But Shawn Michaels was the babyface villain and John Cena was the babyface hero. And that's kind of what you had that whole run from Flair to Taker is he did a good job of sometimes he was and in the Flair feud, I mean, it was like two heroes colliding, right? It was like Civil War. But in the Undertaker feud, they flip-flopped. Sometimes Michaels was the villain, sometimes Taker was a villain. Remember, Taker didn't want to have the match, didn't feel like he had to have the second match. And he's the one that
thing started at the Slammies.
Yeah, and he made him put his career on the line. If you think about it, like, that's a villain move. Like, technically, the Undertaker didn't only beat Shawn Michaels to force him into retirement. He made him agree to that stipulation. Not like Shawn said, I'll put up my career. Yeah. Like, Taker put that on him. But for me, I think the biggest baby faces are usually born out of a heel run. Like, you almost have to excel as a heel and then get turned. And I think that's what happened Shawn's first run up to a world championship where he beat Bret Hart at WrestleMania. Like, he had that heel run and then the fans basically turned him babyface, which is when that happened. I mean, even Randy Orton, like, he didn't ascend to legendary status until after his babyface run. Not the babyface run where Evolution turned on him, but the babyface run that we saw happen from WrestleMania 25 or WrestleMania 26, when he basically got he was basically positioned as a babyface the very next night at Raw after beating Legacy, his own faction. So to me, it's tough, right? I picked a tough one for the very first one. It's super close, but I gotta go babyface. To be honest with you, like, I think he was best as a babyface, which says a lot because he was a damn good heel. It is hard because all of his DX stuff, they also went from babyface to heel without really changing much. It was just the product around them changed to cause them to be suddenly the good guys because they went Attitude Era. Like they were part of what ushered that in. So to me, that's also what causes some of that is the situation that he was in and where he was. So Shawn Michaels, babyface heel. Well, this week, the babyface heel of the week, Shawn Michaels, is a babyface.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So I'm changing the three-minute warning from what's on the rundown because Patrick O'Dowd – okay, Miranda may or may not have thoughts on this, but she has her own show, so whatever, right? It's fine. So Patrick O'Dowd sent me a couple text messages today, and man, they were funny. And so if I had a name for this segment, it would be Patrick Goes Heel. Patrick O'Dowd, what do you think of Lacey Evans' nose?
I hate that she got a nose job. And that it's very prominent and you can see it. And maybe it's because I haven't watched her wrestle in a while, but literally was watching her wrestle or watching her backstage with Ric Flair and was like, she looks different. And then I Google imaged and was like, that is a very sloped, angular, perfect, like angled nose. And was like, I hate it. Was like, I don't like Lacey Evans's new nose job. I actually thought of Spaceballs. I was like, I want to give her back her old nose. Her old nose. No, it wasn't even a bad nose. Like, why'd she like, and I get it, it's her face. She can do what she wants with it. Whatever. Actually, I hate the Rick angle or Ric Flair angle too, but that's a whole other thing. Did she get divorced?
Probably not. No.
I don't know. I actually don't mind the Ric Flair. I think Old Man Flair is great. I really do.
It's actually not about Flair. It's about Lacey Evans. Yeah, like, and I know she's a heel, and I know what she's working, and I know it's
she's using them.
This is one of those things that I struggle with pro wrestling today. Like, because if this was pro wrestling in the 80s, I'd probably be okay with this angle, and even the early 90s, because that blurred line of reality and not reality was still a thing. Like our willingness to play along, and one of the things that they really promoted Lacey Evans on for a while was her being a mom and being in the military. And then, you know, when they were, especially when they were trying to get her over as a face. is so like, just like, to me, it was icky. I think it's icky.
I mean,
If you like Old Man Space Mountain, that's fine.
They've done it so. I mean, Angel Garza literally got over by proposing to his girlfriend on NXT, and now he's the Latino Bachelor on Raw, handing out roses to people. Like, it's just
no. I get it.
They don't. I mean, it's a television show. If anything, the original 3 minute warning topic, where Alexa Bliss literally has a complete transformation mid match against Asuka. I mean, and Randy Orton gets set on fire after burning the fiend. Like, again, people gotta know what they're watching. Like, it's a TV show. Now, is it a TV show where they want it to be and not? It's more of a variety show now than ever before. And I think it's an opportunity for Lacey Evans to get over in a way, because Ric Flair is Ric Flair. And I also like the idea of Ric Flair and Charlotte kind of being on opposite sides. But
you would also hope that they get over on just being Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair. I mean, we literally saw some of the first competitors in the 2019 Royal Rumble. And even at that point, we knew they were going to try and set something up between two strong, independent, fiercely competitive women.
I think the big difference, though, Miranda, is as much as I love Lacey Evans, and I do, like, you can ask Greg what I said. Well, you were here for that show, I think, what I said about Lacey Evans in that Royal Rumble, where I was like, they see something huge in her, because she was in, like, her debut Royal Rumble, she was in there for 20-some minutes and went toe-to-toe with, like, everybody before getting tossed. She was pretty raw.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. That was her first match.
Very, very good.
And I think that the thing that's where the Flair rub is coming in here is that we're trying. It's like what Impact tried to do with AJ Styles that AJ didn't need because they just didn't recognize what was going on. They're putting Ric Flair, they're pairing him up with Lacey because they know that is a, I get it, Greg, it is a story that'll work.
You just don't like it.
Kind of icky. Well, and he's icky, happily married. Like, he's so happily married, like, himself. Like, the woman he's married to brought him balance in life. Like, brought him back to like, normal. Like, saved his ass.
Right, and but when he's on television, he's not that guy. He's a character. And it's just hard. Sure.
Does feel like, as Patrick mentioned, if this was in, you know, the 80s and 90s, it'd feel like a much more acceptable story. It feels like they backtrack a bit from all the progress that they've made in women's wrestlings and women's storylines when you throw a guy involved, especially Ric Flair. They've kind of copied and pasted this a few times to the fact where, you know, some of these things just don't age well. And I mean, we've seen it with some of the things that happened with Becky Lynch, where, you know, even some of those interactions have been edited out just because it is kind of just, it is that icky feeling. So yes, in the moment, it is about the rub and it is about, you know, giving some more personality to Lacey Evans, which I think has been a struggle for her. This creates a really good dynamic for her character, absolutely. But in the long run, does it also feel combative to what they've been doing with the whole women's movement and having, you know, women stand on their own without involving some other storylines? It just seems so counterintuitive, but
I mean, it's not like you went up and grabbed a Money in the Bank briefcase for her, so you've got that going for you.
Apparently, we've learned.
I don't know. I just, again, if this happened on a regular TV show, I don't think people would be as upset about it. And it's just, it's that still real to me part.
That's a little bit of a strong word.
What?
I don't say I'm upset.
I didn't say you were. Weird. I just said people.
This is kind of a gross feeling. Right, like that's just kind of like ill.
See, I put it out there. So, like, why do you gotta go like that? Like, why do you gotta go there?
Aw, Puddin'.
I felt so insecure about myself. I had to put my girl in my background.
I noticed that. Yeah, you did. So
I know. I learned things.
So we talked about
it. I mean, she's done a fabulous, I mean, talk about fabulous job. I love her transformation. I've really liked her, you know, Carmella's work recently. So, and overall, but I love this new edge to her. It's fantastic.
What kind of job does she do? She's always fantastic. What kind of job was it? No, what kind of job does she do?
Fantastic.
No, what kind of job does she do? You said it before.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I can't find it anyway. I'm looking for it. I can't.
F-A-B.
F-A-B.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Yeah.
I tell you, last night I was up and I was watching, and you know what I went back and watched? I went back and watched TakeOver New Orleans, where Adam Cole wins the ladder match for the North American Championship, which, by the way, is such a long match. I went downstairs, made food, went back upstairs, and it was still going, and I didn't even miss anything. And then later in the day, or later in the show, him and Kyle O'Reilly win the Dusty Cup and retain the NXT Tag Team Championships because Roderick Strong turns on Pete Dunne and joins the Undisputed Era. Such a great, great, great moment. And commentary did an amazing job talking about their history together. Like, they really did put that over big time, and it was a lot of fun to watch that. So we got a minute. The original three-minute warning was that on Monday's edition of WWE Raw, and we talked about it, Alexa Bliss transformed into a brand-new version of herself in mid-match against Asuka, a fiendish version of Alexa, and defeated the Raw Women's Champion with Sister Abigail. Thoughts on another thing we likely couldn't do if we had a regular audience of fans, Miranda?
I mean, I'm intrigued by this. I have not been super keen on Alexa Bliss for quite some time, but I have to admit, I am on this bandwagon of hers. I think it adds a nice touch to the match, and also seems like this evolution we're having with her. We saw it earlier in the night where she was talking to this imaginary Bray Wyatt, maybe a ghost, maybe imaginary friend. I'm not sure. But it does seem like we're seeing this level of intensity with and this whole just persona change with her yet again. And so into kind of like a deeper layer, a darker side. And sometimes you really need that visual representation to help project that that change. So I think it's a fun way to do something different in a match. Why not? And absolutely not something that you could do in a regular audience. So why not continue to leverage and play out some of these kind of funner ways to do matches and have either surprise finishes or moments while you don't have fans? And that way too, we may eventually see this with fans, but I like when they shake things up and do things new. So I'm not mad at it at all.
Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the let it marinate thing. Like, I started speculating as to what it could really mean. Is this a new persona for Alexa, or is she possessed by Bray Wyatt? And because, and what led me to ask that question were some of the facial features and just dope, or facial expressions, not features, yeah. But like, you got to give all kinds of credit to whatever this is with Alexa, and just like the deadpan face that she carried throughout that after that shift. Like, it was just such a turn from the creepy childlike character that she's been doing. But yeah, I can't remember what the mannerism was. It wasn't the turnbuckle bit, but there was when she was taking some shots from Asuka, the way she moved her body when she took those bumps was very much like I saw Bray Wyatt in just the way she moved her body when she took the hits. And it made me wonder, I don't want this to be the story, but I wondered if that was the story.
Yeah, brilliant performance, and she's done a really good job since taking this on. And honestly, she's done a really good job with everything they've given her since she's ascended to the main roster, and it is proven to be such a great performer. I liked it. I'm intrigued to see where it goes, and I definitely, you know, WWE is different than any other wrestling show in the world or wrestling company in the world. So we're cool with Alexa Bliss supernaturally transforming into a different character, but not cool with Lacey Ryan using Old Man Flair. Got it.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Lacey Evans.
Did I say Alexa Bliss?
You said,
no, you
Lacey,
said Lacey
Ryan.
Ryan.
Oh, she's like that Vegas.
Say Lacey
lady.
Evans. Yeah.
Lacey Evans being used by Lacey Ryan could also benefit from using Old Man Flair. Her career would ascend really quickly if she did that.
Also doesn't need it, but that's neither here nor there. That's not a conversation we'll have today.
I'm sorry that I don't like a storyline, Craig. Please forgive me for not liking every storyline WWE puts
out. Yeah, it's
man.
Like, oh, we can't be creeped out by a story, so we can be creeped, you know, we're supposed to be creeped out by Alexa Bliss possibly being
possessed by Bray
Wyatt,
creeped out by
but
Old
not
Man
being
Flair.
Creeped out by old man Flair hitting on yet another, young female.
30 years of The Undertaker, but suddenly we can't do gay spooky. Like,
but you were fine. Again, you're probably feeling the way about Ric Flair and Lacey Evans that you're supposed to feel. And it's working.
Christ. Yeah, but not for the reason that I feel.
No, don't do that. Oh my goodness. Did you just say that? Did you just say that? You just sounded like every internet mark we've ever made fun of.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
We all
okay.
have our moments.
You're better than
we
that.
We all have our moments. Most of the time, but we all have our moments.
Man.
You telling me you've never had an internet mark moment ever?
Oh, of course I have.
Ever.
Come on now.
And you won't have one in the future at some point?
I have one pretty much every
daily.
Every single. Yeah, daily. I mean,
you we know. All do. Daily.
Of course I do. Of course I
hey,
do.
Hey, fuck you, Greg.
You're just saying that just because I couldn't
That's
find
a good
this.
One. That's a good one. I was going to say, totally interrupted. Yes. Left enough dead air, too. So you cut it clean. Oh, you could splice
there
that up real
it.
Good.
See how I did that for you?
Yeah, I'll find
You're
it
welcome.
Right around 45 minutes, 46 minutes. Yeah, we'll cut that out and use it.
Fuck you, Pat!
All right, we're going to wrap things up on this edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast. My name is Greg DeMarco. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ChairShotGreg. You can follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. You can follow Miranda Morales at the hashtag Miranda Patrick. What are people missing if they haven't listened to Bandwagon Nerds?
You're going to listen to the nerds break down the first two episodes of WandaVision. And then we spent most of the show kind of rolling back on updates on some previous topics. Streaming still taking over the world. And Miranda mentioned the Justice League. The Ray Fisher story won't go away. Like, just won't go away.
And then what about the review this week? What's the nerd review?
The nerd review this week, I forgot what we reviewed. this coming week we're reviewing War Games.
Okay. 80s classic.
It's something recent too. Like
what, last week?
Gosh. Yeah.
Last week was Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Yeah, there you
What's
go.
What's funny is that because I don't do the Thursday night, Wednesday nights, like I don't even know what it is until it hits the website now. Like I literally forward it to Andrew and don't even open it and see. And so I read it as a reader. So very excited about that. Excellent. Miranda, what are people going to hear and see on this week's edition of the hashtag Miranda Show?
Yes, we are back on video this week, and we are going to be discussing the results of Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill, specifically the main event, because if you listened to last week's episode, we had some thoughts about it, and especially if some of our predictions were going to be right, which they were, we were going to talk about it. So we are going to be talking about...
Some jerk face asshole hit the nail on the head with what was going to happen.
He does that every so often.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the big news of WrestleMania that was also announced regarding WrestleMania 37 and the locations for 38 and 39. And also just a little special shout out ode to Billie Kay because I love her and I'm going to talk about it.
There you go. So
hey,
give it all
that, That Henry Pankey reporter guy, he was pretty good.
He was.
He's dope.
Yes. The whole thing was good. I really loved that video. All right. Well, we thank you for listening to this edition of the show. Hopefully, we have more things to banter and argue about in the future. More babyface heels to decide whether they were better as a babyface or a heel. Until next time, this has been the Babyface Heel Podcast, where you know there are two sides to every storyline. For Patrick O'Dowd and for Miranda Morales, I'm Greg DeMarco, reminding you to do what? To always use your head.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.